Good evening. This is Dr. Nefertiti Noel.
Love Talk Radio.
I jumped the gun. Good evening. This is Dr. Nefertiti Noel.
And I'm Darren Noel.
And we're here tonight for Relationship Wednesdays, our weekly show. So let's just introduce ourselves. I just want to remind the listeners out there that I am a clinical therapist, and I run a private practice in Naperville, Illinois. And Darren?
And I'm a life coach and career coach in Naperville.
Okay. And we work together helping people get their lives under control and managing the lives that they lead. So tonight's topic, and appropriately so, it's the night before Valentine's Day, and we really want to talk to you about making love last. And first, Darren's going to start off with giving you five things. There's so many people out here in relationships that are struggling or feeling like their relationship is not going well, and we really want to give you some of the tools you're going to need to keep your relationship and your marriages going strong. And with 50% of marriages ending in divorce, I really think tonight's show is really important in helping you establish a healthy relationship. So Darren's going to give you five secrets to making love last, and then I'm going to be excited to introduce you to our guest speaker tonight. So Darren?
Sure, here we go. These are all from a LifeScript.com article. They have about five secrets for making love last. So LifeScripts.com. The first one is touch each other. So basically just hand holding, someone's passing by, rubbing on the shoulder, rub massage someone else's foot, your partner's feet, things of that nature. Just a little love gesture that you can do with one another that builds acquaintances and builds that relationship bond that you have with one another. The second one is laugh together. Have fun, joke around, keep it fresh, and enjoy being around each other's company. That's a simple one. Number three, give a self-esteem boost, okay? Tell your wife how beautiful she is. Hey, honey, you still look great without your makeup. I love you like that. Husband, you look really handsome. Things of that nature. Just things that's going to help boost their self-esteem over time, okay? Number four, disagree when it counts. It's okay to disagree and express when you're, hey, I disagree with what you said about that. I don't like what you did about that when you need to, okay? Not about nitpicking, but you have to feel free that you can express yourself when you're not happy about something. And five is dream together. Make sure you guys are dreaming about your expressing your goals with one another, what life goals that you have. Hey, here's what I want to do. Let's spend some time dream building. We'll look through some dream building magazines. Where do we want to go on trips? What do you want to accomplish in life? And make sure you're sharing your dreams with one another.
Right. Good job, Darren. So just for callers that have questions, if you have any questions that you have not Facebook, Twitter, Pinterested, or Instagrammed to me, then our call-in number is 323-693-3835. Again, 323-693-3835. So we have Lee on the line that has been happily married for 34 years, and that is something that you just don't hear a lot of as much as we used to anymore. And I'm excited for Lee to give us some insight on her relationship and how she has made such a long-standing and long-lasting relationship in a time and environment that is not as inviting to couples being long-lasting as it used to be. So, Lee, welcome tonight, and we appreciate you being here.
Well, thank you.
Lee, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of, I told the group that you've been married 34 years, but can you give us a little bit more detail on that?
Let me see. Well, we've been together since, 78. So, that would be about 34 years.
Okay. Where did you guys meet?
Well, we actually met the first time in his dad's store. His dad owned a fish market in the neighborhood. And I, was friendly with his father. I knew his dad before I knew him. And I came in the store one day to sell some raffle tickets for my church. And that's how we met. He, had come back to Chicago, and he was working in the store.
Okay, very good. How long did you all date before you got married?
Well, as I phrased it previously, we've been together for 34 years. But the first, 6 years, we lived together, And then I told him that the deadline for being with me was going to expire, and I had to have a ring. So
there
he ended up and gave me a ring.
Okay. Okay. So that's an interesting
point. That was in 84. That was in 84.
For you ladies out there listening, I really like something Lee said. She had reached her maximum wait time, and so she told him that there's a deadline, and it's kind of like what Beyonce says, if you like it, then you got to put a ring on it. So good. How did he take that?
He was surprised. Initially, I had given him a lot of leeway because he had come out of a previous marriage and was still a bit shell-shocked. And I understand why.
Okay.
So without elaborating on that situation, I understand why. It wasn't amicable, exactly. But I told him, you know, he could have some time. But the time just seemed to go into 1 year, into 2 years, into three. And I said, well, I got to light a fire under this guy or else. So I just let him know. My time is precious, and I'm a valuable asset all around. You want me or you don't.
Right. But now, how would you help? Because I do have lots of ladies that come to me that are living with a person that they care about, but they can't seem to encourage or get them to a point to get married. How would you encourage them to do that?
You know, it's more about you than it is about prodding the man towards the altar. You have to sit down and assess your own particular situation and decide what it is that you need, what it is that you can accept, what you cannot accept, and what is going to make your life go forward. You always have to go forward in your life. You can't be stagnant. If you're stagnant, you become miserable. Once you become miserable, you just die mentally, spiritually, emotionally. You just die. No one is worth that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, like, you're about evaluating your own self-worth and what you bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Now, I'm hoping the ladies are out here hearing that because I have lots of people that come and see me and feel like they have to settle or maybe they're not worth telling somebody that, hey, I'm valuable, and if you want me in your life, then these are the parameters under which I'm willing to be with you. So good. So, how long were you married before you all had children together?
Well, I got pregnant the year that we were together.
Okay.
You know, so it wasn't that long. Actually, I had my child before we were married.
Okay. Did you feel like having children changed the relationship?
No.
Okay.
No.
How did you prevent that from happening? Because I have a lot of people that are married a year or two, and then they have children, and they feel like the children are kind of sometimes blocking or changing their relationship with their spouse. You guys didn't encounter any of that?
I can only speak for my side of the equation, and I didn't run into that because I always believed in having my own way in life for myself, whether I had someone else with me or not. You know, usually that comes from, as far as I've seen, someone feeling that they're at the mercy of another individual. My great-grandmother had a saying, and she said, every kettle sets on its own bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. as long as you know what you're sitting on or standing on, you're okay. You have to know how to take care of yourself. You have to have enough faith and confidence that you are able to do that. And my husband always knew that if any situation arose that was a deal breaker in our relationship, if I had had 20 children, I would have been gone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How did you establish your deal breakers? A lot of couples have trouble with that. How do you know when something's a deal breaker in your relationship?
You know when your spouse is upset, don't you?
Okay.
I mean, okay, the first, I'll give you a for instance. My husband and I have a rule. When we go out, the first dance is with each other.
Okay.
Any dances with anyone else are only if the fellow is a gentleman, comes up and asks my husband, then asks me. Okay? No slow dances with other people. And that's our rule for going out. We came to that rule because early in our dating relationship, he and I had an hellacious argument outdoors because I love to dance and I can dance all night.
Okay.
And I still try to at this age.
Mm-hmm.
I danced for about an hour with someone else.
Okay.
After my husband, not at the time husband, but while my husband was sitting and he was furious.
Okay.
Furious. And, you know, as soon as I came back to the table, he had our coats and he was like, "We're leaving now." We got outside and it was just a screaming match. A screaming match. But eventually we came to terms about it. See, sometimes he gets tired faster than I do and can't dance because he has asthma. So he doesn't mind me dancing with people at other times. But, yeah. But we worked it out.
So it came from somewhat of a misunderstanding. You kind of came to a compromise that here's how we're going to be able to meet each other's need and keep everybody happy.
Right.
Do you find that compromise has been an important part of your relationship with your husband?
Oh, yes. Very much so. Now, I mean, depending on how strongly one side or the other feels about a situation, sometimes it's easy to come to compromise. Sometimes it's harder. You know, but usually in those situations, what helps is to sit down, and even if you don't agree with the idea that your spouse has, at least understand the emotion that it comes out of and, you know, what created that emotion so you have more empathy for their feelings. So then maybe both sides are more willing to give towards the center.
Okay. Do you feel like your love is as strong as it was when you all first got together?
It's more.
Okay.
How so?
I mean, after 34 years, there's a lot of water under the bridge. There's a lot of things that have been done intentionally and not intentionally on both sides, like the illustration I just gave you. And you know, if you look at your mate and you see that they're worth it, you know, and you both understand that what you're building is important to both of you, then you work through, you know. So, and that is, how to say, I guess over time that just deepens your relationship.
Okay.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a time in your relationship where you all thought about not being together?
Oh, of course. Everyone who's been together for any length of time does that. The French have a saying, divorce never, murder frequently.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard that? There are plenty of times that you will feel like killing your spouse. But those moments will pass, and you'll calm down, and then you'll work through whatever the problem is. because just like you have extremely angry moments at times, sometimes you have extremely happy moments. And if you think about those times, then that'll calm you down. Also, when, say you have a bad week, a bad month, a bad year, and you're like, I need to be with somebody else different. I need to be in a new situation, an environment, period. Think about this. About the time that you're fed up with how things are going, your mate is probably feeling the same way. So you two need to really console each other and uplift each other so you can drag yourself through this situation.
Okay.
That's a very good point. It has to be open and honest communication, a line of communication open and say, hey, you know what? We may be both feeling this. Let's talk about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think another point for young couples, and even couples that are not young but you're struggling, is realizing that just because you think for a moment that, okay, this isn't going good, we shouldn't be together, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't be with that person. Mm-hmm. And that tough times will happen. Any relationship, but even the relationships that we from the outside think are the most perfect, have their issues.
No such thing. There is no such thing as a perfect relationship. Mm-hmm. They all, it's like the tide. It's like an ebb and flow, and it goes out, it comes in. Sometimes they are tidal waves, okay? But yeah. a lot of the time the ocean is calm. And those are the days that you try to hold out for, those calm, sunny days.
Mhm. Mhm. Absolutely. Have you ever had to deal with infidelity in your relationship?
Not that I know of. I explained to my husband a long time ago that I will not willingly share my cookies with anyone.
Okay. Okay, very good. And, I mean, I think it's important for you guys out there listening to set these boundaries with your spouse so that they know ahead of time. Because a lot of things that we think are make common sense to us may not make common sense to our partner.
Yes. Because everybody comes to a relationship with different expectations, different backgrounds, different family backgrounds, different expectations. And unless you verbalize that and communicate that to your partner, they may not know because their life experience before they got with you is different than what you're bringing to the table.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So how do you guys get over an argument, Lee? Like, if it's a really tough and, like, hard argument, how do you guys get through that?
Well, after the argument, I mean, the worst arguments are shouting matches, stomp, stomp, slam doors, go in a room, beat your head against the wall, scream a lot. But after that all subsides, I think we both recognize each other's breaking point. I mean, the point where, you know, they say don't poke the bear,
yeah.
That point. So when we both recognize that each other are at that point, we go to neutral corners and calm down. And then after we've calmed down, we may walk around each other for a couple of days, and we're polite. We say what needs to be said to get things done in an orderly fashion around the house, and then eventually we'll sit down and say we have to discuss this.
Mm-hmm.
And clear the air.
Okay. Now, what about the adage that some couples have about don't go to bed on an argument, like try to get the argument resolved before the end of the night?
Anybody that's even dated for more than a week knows that that is not possible.
Okay. Okay.
It's a nice thought, and Peter Pan is a nice thought, too, but that's not possible.
Okay. Because I have lots of people that come to me and they say they just don't go to bed angry. They just don't do it.
No, well, they may go to bed repressed.
Right.
There's some resentment there because if you get up the next day and this woman has made your breakfast every day of her life and then she makes her breakfast and doesn't make you any, but she still says, hi, honey. Oh, I couldn't do it. I'm going to work. That's passive aggressive.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so there's some resentment there. There's still some anger there. So just be honest about how you feel and just say, hey, I got to go to a neutral corner for a while. I got to get into my own head before I can talk to you about what's there.
Okay.
And then straighten everything out.
Okay. Okay. Good feedback. I mean, because I think there are a lot of couples that feel like if they have an argument, then maybe their relationship wasn't meant to be, or if they go to bed angry. And I'm going to say that sometimes you can be angry for, like, days. I don't think, I mean, something hit a nerve.
And like you mentioned, so it's like that walk around. That's an example with the breakfast, you know. Still polite, but I just didn't make you breakfast this morning, but still polite, good morning, have a good day. So it's that walk around.
You know, or if he kisses you every day before he leaves, or if he calls two or three times a day just to check in, you know, it's not even a romantic conversation, but you know that you're thought of. And then he doesn't do that for a couple of days, you know he's still ticked off. So,
yeah. Right. And this is for
think about this. Think about the very best friend that you ever had. I mean, your best buddy, your best girlfriend. I mean, the one that you can just tell anything to and they can give you some advice or you do things with. Even you and that person do not get along 100% of the time. So, I mean, there are going to be some clashes when you have two real personalities, two separate personalities. It just has to be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think it's important to be realistic that no two people agree on everything all the time.
Right.
So
with that being said,
you just have to figure out how to get around those rough parts.
So
is the sex still good after 34 years?
Oh, yeah.
Are there any special things? I mean, because I also have a lot of couples that go through feeling like they get bored with having the same person all the time, or they don't know how to keep it spiced up. I mean, do you have any suggestions for them on how to keep long term, how to keep their sex life spicy?
Well, without being graphic. One thing is have a life of your own. I've seen people in restaurants and you can tell how long they've dated or if they're married or married for a long time by the way they interact with each other. If they hardly talk to each other, they've been together forever, they know all of each other's stories and they know everything that happened to that other person because their mate does not have a life that is separate also from their married life.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be interesting to someone if they know everything about you. There has to be some mystery for men and for women. You can't do like teenagers and, you know, you're on the phone with each other every hour that you're not in school, looking in each other's faces in your class instead of studying. You can't do that. You have to go out and have a life, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That will make you interesting to that person, so they'll want to be around you, and they'll want to talk to you, and they'll want to see what's going on next with you and why you're doing what you're doing and how is it going.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. I think but the individual, you still have to have a life, still have to have your dreams and goals that you want to accomplish as an individual. But continue to strive and be a better person yourself.
Oh, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anything that doesn't grow, it dies. It stagnates and then it dies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
That would be your relationship too, which is why you see those couples that don't speak to each other. They just eat in silence. They get the check and then they leave and they go home. And they sit on TV and scratch and burp and whatever. And she goes in a room and reads a book and a romance novel because there's no more mystery in their life anymore. So, you know.
That definitely happens.
Absolutely. How do you all keep the quality time that couples need, like with just you and your husband? How do you guys make that happen?
Kick people out of the house.
Okay. Okay.
Get out now, leave, go away.
Okay. Okay.
And that's even for family and kids, children.
Get out now, go away, leave us alone.
Mhm.
Mhm. That's it. And we still go out on dates.
Okay.
Oh, there you go. So still have like date night, and you guys have fun outside the house together.
Oh, of course. I think that I have partied for about four people during the course of my life. No, I'm serious. I'm down to our average now is about every other week. And that's from when we first met, we would go out 3 to 4 times during the week.
Okay. Okay. So you guys have always had that fun time together, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that's a priority in relationships?
I couldn't hear what you were saying. What was that?
I was saying, do you think it should be or it is a priority in relationships to have that couple's time together, that party time, that intimate time together?
Or you have to. I mean, and it doesn't even have to be sexual. It has to be anything that will hold your interest with your spouse, that will make you to learn something new outside of yourselves. Those are the things that promote growth. And then you see your mate grow, and they see you grow and change, and then you have to learn how to adapt to one another because you both are already in love with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll want to do that. And so that will make your relationship interesting, and it'll keep it, it'll feed it.
Okay.
You need quiet time alone, you know, just to cuddle and look at each other and know that you're there for one another. I mean, you've heard people say that, we're together all the time. We work together and we are at home together and we do take care of all kind of business, but they still feel lonely.
Uh-huh, of course.
Okay, that's because they don't really have any intimate time. They may be really good business partners, but they're not really good life partners. So they have to learn how to tune into their mate and catch their cues and their signals, you know, what makes them angry or anxious or sad. You know, the longer you're with a person, you know what their history is, so you know what some of their triggers are. You know, so, I mean, keeping those things in mind, you know what to watch for in different situations.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. And that takes work. You got to focus on your spouse to pick up on those things. If you're not really paying attention to them, you know, those things go right by you like a bullet.
And that's why you need the intimate time.
Yes.
Absolutely.
You know, you can reflect on things that have happened and see how they feel, get feedback from them.
Right. I mean, and I think something Lee is saying is really important is getting feedback from your partner and finding out who they are as people is really important. I think a lot of times people get into a couple in a relationship and they sort of lose their own identity and they don't realize that their partner, their spouse, has likes and dislikes, good things, bad things, you know, good habits, bad habits. And it's okay for each of you to have an identity as long as it doesn't become disrespectful to the core relationship. But okay, we are down to the last second, and I see that there are people that have questions, so we may have to have Lee come back another time. But everybody, next week. Yeah. Lee, thank you so much. And have a great night.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.